All right, joining us on the hotline right now from the Houston Chronicle is Jenny Dowd Creech. Hey, Jenny, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, thanks for taking a little bit of time with us tonight. Appreciate it. Yeah, I know you're busy.
You bet. You bet.
Hey, so you've got a, you know, a really big story out right now about Texas A&M, mm-hmm. and its issues with how it's enforcing its Title IX.
Right.
How did this come about? Like, what got this started in motion?
Actually, a young woman's tweet is what did it. You had a victim who's gone public now, a victim of sexual assault who reached out to the athletic department when she found out that her assailant, who she knew would be suspended from school, but he came back to school and then was allowed back on the swim team. She reached out wanting to kind of talk to them and see how that had happened. You know, she was a little bit offended by that this young man was allowed to represent the university in athletics after they had found him what they call responsible, which is guilty of sexual assault. And they just sort of dismissed her. The athletic department just sort of dismissed her, and she posted that online, and it immediately went viral. And then it had other women coming forward and saying, "Hey, something similar happened to me, and you know, we demand change. We want better from our university." And now you have a group of 250, I think was around that number, the last I saw of victims of sexual assault from Texas A&M who are speaking out and saying, let's do a better job with our Title IX policies at the university.
All right, 250 people, that's a really big number in, what, 48 mm-hmm. hours? And
yeah, it is. But, you know, it's nothing compared to, and this is not, we've talked about this before, it's not just a Texas A&M problem. I mean, the statistics are out there. One in every five women on a college campus will be sexually assaulted. I mean, those are the numbers. So there's definitely more. These are women who went through the process, went through the timeline process, and were unhappy with how it turned out.
And in this particular case, this victim who came forward, the guy who was found responsible for sexual assault on her, his punishment was he was suspended for a semester.
Correct. That is correct. Both parties did sign and agree to that. I think it's just a matter of she realized a year and a half later she sees his name on the swim roster and she had questions about that, as I think a lot of people would. If you're suspended from a school for sexual misconduct, should you be allowed back on a team? And it's not necessarily that Texas A&M broke a policy here. It's the fact that they don't have one. And I think that's the conversation we need to be having. If you're guilty or found guilty of any kind of misconduct, like if this kid had cheated on a test, I guarantee you he wouldn't be A, back at school, and B, on the swim team. So I think there have to be real consequences for your actions. And a lot of people are bashing this girl for coming forward later, for having agreed to the suspension. She didn't know she couldn't agree to it. They said that was his punishment. She said, okay. She didn't know she could argue it, you know. But I think she has a fair point in the fact that she reached out to the swim team and said, hey, why is this kid allowed to compete? This boy raped me. And I think that it is fair for universities to look at that and think about the kind of people that they have representing their universities when it comes to teams and athletics.
Jenny Dowd Creech of the Houston Chronicle with us on the hotline. Jenny, I thought that was an incredible point that you made. If this young man had been, you know, been found responsible for cheating on a test, mm-hmm. you know, he'd be expelled.
Yeah.
Found responsible absolutely. For sexual assault and you get a semester off, so you mm-hmm. don't have to write that check. And then when you come back, everything's all good.
Exactly. I mean, he got it, and there was no consequence when it came to the swim team, which I do believe, as hard as these athletes work, as much as we pay attention to them, it is a privilege to be able to play college athletics. It is. So, yes, you get a second chance, you get to come back to school. I don't necessarily believe that you should be allowed back on a team, whether it's the swim team, the football team, or anything else. And, you know, and he's back, and not only he's back, he didn't lose any eligibility. They just gave him a red shirt while he was out.
Wait, so while he was suspended, they gave him a red shirt mm-hmm. instead of having him lose a a half a year of eligibility?
That is correct.
Now I understand why people get so angry about this stuff. It's
the
punishments are non-existent.
It's very mixed. A lot of people are angry about it, and then what I see a little more of is then a lot of victim blaming. She did this to herself. Some of their, according to the documents in the Title IX report, which she made public, she did consent to some things that happened, but she didn't consent to all of them. So people are blaming her. Well, you shouldn't have gotten yourself in that situation. They met on Tinder. People are saying, well, if you meet someone on Tinder, you deserve this, which is beyond me how you can say that.
Apparently everyone on Tinder is a rapist.
Apparently so. Apparently that's what you get, which is absurd. So I think that there's also, anytime I write anything like this, there's a lot of societal questions that I have. There's a lot of victim blaming and shaming. I will say this. I have received a lot of, from victims and just from former and current A&M students that still love their university. They just want to see change. And it looks like A&M is taking this seriously and doing so quickly. And I really hope that that's a good sign for what's to come.
Well, that would be different than what Baylor did.
Yeah, I really think A&M, from what I can tell, the school has reached out to some of these women and does want to make change. I also talked to a young woman today who shared her story where Title IX worked out well for her. She also had a criminal case and nothing happened with that, but her Title IX case, the young man was expelled from school. But to her, she's like, well, my problem is, yeah, it works great for me. It needs to work the same for everyone else. There needs to be transparency and consistency, and we have to do a job for every woman who goes through this.
Jane Dowell Creech, Houston Chronicle, with us on the hotline. Now, Jane, Title IX, it's not the same as, like a court of law.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. What is the requirement for Title IX as far as, if you're saying someone is responsible, they're not responsible, what is the burden of proof in Title IX?
So they'll have a hearing and there's usually a panel that's put together of unbiased group of people, usually 3 to 4 people. They hear both sides. Both sides can present evidence. In some cases, that might be text messages that have been exchanged. If the girl had a rape kit taken, you could do that. If she went to counseling and there were notes or whatever, the guy, the same thing. If he has text messages or he has any kind of proof that he wants to present, they both tell their stories multiple times. And then this group of people makes a determination on if, someone is responsible for any kind of harassment. Title IX protects both genders from any unfair treatment. And one of the things that happens, certainly, is if you're sexually assaulted or sexually harassed, that's what the Title IX office is there for. It is. I think there's some people that are confused. Title IX on campuses is completely different from a criminal trial, and a lot of these victims have both. They go to the police and they go to Title IX. Going to the police doesn't mean that anything will happen at the school. Going to the school doesn't mean that any charges would be filed legally. Most people try to do both if they can.
So it's almost like a civil case handled specifically for the university.
Correct. Exactly. And then the university can decide how they want to handle it. And what we're seeing now is just there's a lot of inconsistencies in the way that A&M has handled these cases. And there probably needs to be some policy review saying, okay, if you're found responsible of this, X, Y, and Z are going to happen. Once you make things a little more black and white, once people know what their consequences are, you're going to start seeing a decline in behavior like this.
One of the things that you had said is that A&M has reached out to the victims, that they're trying to move, they're trying to get things right and move forward with it. Because to me, one of the biggest issues with the Baylor situation is they kept trying to lie and hide and cover it up.
Exactly. There was too many people there that, and the Baylor thing is different, too, as in they were trying to cover up things as they were happening. I don't believe that there was a lot of malice from A&M. I just think that they probably can look at the way things are and say, we could do better. We didn't include anything with athletics. I do think the swim coach should probably, consider who he has on his team. If I were a swim coach, if someone came back after being suspended for anything, for any kind of misconduct, I'm not sure I'd want that person on my team. I might give that spot to someone else. So I think that this is just one of those cases where it's important to look at the policies in place and say, how can we do a better job? Because people are slipping through the cracks, and it isn't fair. And, you know, this boy, at the end of the day, by definition, raped somebody and is allowed to just come back as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah, and obviously you don't want to send – this kind of almost sends a message of, well, you know, our athletics departments, they're more important than the safety of women. And I don't think that's the message they want to send.
Right. Yeah, and I – like I said, I'm not sure that there's anyone like at Baylor where you saw people actually mishandling these cases. I think probably things slipped through the cracks. I think the fact that he went through Title IX – they closed the case. They moved on. Nobody paid attention when he came back and rejoined the swim team, when maybe they should have. And this is a really good example of why you have to follow up with these things, why you have to look at this, and why you have to do better.
Jane Dial Creech, Houston Chronicle, with us on the hotline. Follow her on Twitter at Jenny Dial Creech. Jenny, I appreciate your time tonight. I know that you are a busy mom, so I appreciate that you had some time with us. I know it's a little bit late, but thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Jenny Dial Creech of The Chronicle with us on the hotline.